Romans chapter 1. I mentioned, I'm going to start a series of a few messages here. I changed the title about five or six times, but the title don't matter. I'm going to preach the word of God. But I'm calling it today Glorifying God as God. Glorifying God as God. And there'll be several topics under that. If you recall, I mentioned to you the statement in verse number 21 of Romans chapter 1 that should be an electrifying statement. When you hear the statement, when they knew God, that should be something tremendous to follow. If you picked out some famous Hollywood person and you said, I met so-and-so, or I know so-and-so, people would listen with expectation to hear what is to follow. And it should be a glorious thing when you read in the Bible when they knew God. But unfortunately, that's not the case where it happens. And so we're going to start at verse number 13, read a few verses here, and then we'll ask the Lord to help us. And glorifying God as God, the first thought we'll look at today as part of glorifying God as God is that the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. In Romans 1 and verse 13, you'll notice that the Word of God does say this. Now, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I was purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. For I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth. Mark that in your mind. The gospel of Christ is the power of God unto every one that believeth. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Father, you know what you'd like to do. Would you help? Lord, would you really, Lord, would you help this day in the life of every person in this room, thy will to be done. By the name of Jesus Christ, I ask this all. Amen. Now, verse, you probably picked up in verse number 17 where we get the first thought. If you read this chapter, I think if you look at several things that can take place when we know God, look at the first one. I call this one, again, the just shall live by faith. So if you take a note, either mentally or physically, the first thing I want you to notice is the foundation for faith. The foundation for faith. In verse 17, the Word of God says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. Now, the foundation for that faith is as it is written. It's amazing. Several people testified, and Brother Mark read the scriptures today, and it's amazing how your mind is enlightened just by reading the Word of God, and how your perspective of things in this world changes by reading the Word of God. Your faith changes by reading the Word of God. Your faith is encouraged. Your faith is increased. It is empowered. And it says that the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith as it is written. So what we stand upon is simply what is written. Now, we know these things, and this is not a surprise, but your faith will only be strong as how you respond to that which is written. One of my favorite verses is Psalm 111, where it says, a good understanding have all they that do his commandments. Simple statement, if you do what you should do, you'll know what you should know. And most of our trouble in life is because we're not doing what we already should be doing. And that's why we don't know what we should know. But as we live by faith, as we walk out and trust what God says, we'll have the faith, and it is not a suggestion in verse 17. The just shall live by faith. Hold your place here in a verse you may know already, but in Romans 10, verse 17, just so you can see it in the Word of God. Romans 10, verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The way faith comes by hearing, the way the just live by faith, it comes by hearing. And that hearing comes by the Word of God. And as our very foundation upon that which is written, we stand and rest in complete authority of what God has said. Turn to Matthew chapter 8 and continue to hold Romans. We'll be back in a moment. But in Matthew chapter 8, one of the greatest testimonies of faith, according to what the Lord Jesus says in all the Bible. In Matthew chapter 8, in verse number 5, the Word of God says, "And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth. To another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled." That's something to get Jesus to marvel, isn't it? "And said unto them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." Now this is kind of amazing. Who was walking with Jesus about this time? His disciples. And the greatest faith he found was not even one of his disciples, just a servant that walked up and approached. And he said, "But speak the word only." That's kind of an amazing thought, if you think about that. The magnitude of just, he said, "Lord, I'm a man under authority. I have authority. And so you don't have to come with me. And if you'll just speak the word only," because if I understand the context, he had just been on deliver what we call a Sermon on the Mount, taught his disciples. And here he says, speak. The centurion said, just speak the word only. The only thing I need to rest the hope of the health of my servant is what you say. That's the foundation for our faith. I mean, I wonder how, if you and I could grasp to the Lord, just say, Lord, speak the word only. That's all you have to do. Yes, sir.
Do you have any? I've always wondered if this centurion was a Gentile.
That's a good question.
I don't know if there's any clarification.
Right, yeah.
Because if he's a centurion, so I'm assuming he's involved in the Roman military.
Yeah.
Well, maybe there were some Jews who were there. I don't know if he's tracking it, but I just wondered if he was a Gentile. But Jesus said the Gentile woman does not need for that. Throw the children bread
on the dogs. Right, and he didn't say that to him.
No.
So maybe he would be that lean more toward a Jew. When
I don't know if Jews were allowed to
throw them out there. I don't. Yeah, well, yeah, probably not. Yeah, so that's a good thought there. Oh, no worries, amen. It's never all that question about the scripture, amen. And thank God for interest in the Word of God. But there's a powerful truth there. However you go about it, it does add some conjecture and thought. If it were a Gentile, and some different things. But thank God for that. But to me, that's always been, it's been my favorite passage in the Bible, because I've always tried to live by the Bible. You know, because I can remember when I was lost somehow, and I don't even know how this happened, except by the grace of God. It's not like at the time when I was living lost, my home was not governed by the Word of God. I mean, one thing I did, well, I was thinking about Proverbs 1 we read this week, and it said, "Forsake not the law of thy mother." And I was thinking the one law of my mother was that she hated sin. As you heard me say before, Psalm 97:10, "Ye that love the Lord hate evil." She hated evil. And that was a law. I thought to myself, Lord, if I can pick up that law of my mother, I'll have a pretty good life. If I hate evil, you know. If my mother, anything's wicked. I mean, sometimes to TV, she put that filth in. And my mother, she hated athletics. I tell you, she had a way that she would just say it. I remember when I got hurt the first time, or that athletics. And she had a way of emphasizing words. You just like it was just like she wanted to vomit when she said it, you know. And some of the things that were done, I saw many of my classmates and lose their prospect of the future because of emphasizing their athletic ability over education, and just really. And then they end up, because they can't get a job, they were the star of the whatever team, but then they couldn't get a job when they finished, and they end up in jail. My mother, athletics, you know, that, and she, vanity. So there's nobody like my mother. I wish you could have met her, but you will, if you're saved, you'll meet her one day, man. But talk about being sidetracked. Well, I don't think that was a sidetrack, but I just did. But Luke chapter 4, the foundation for faith. We're still looking at the foundation for faith. How's your faith today? Could Jesus just speak the word to you? Is that enough? It can be, because that's why he put it in the scriptures, because it can be. Luke chapter 4, we know this, and hope you catch it again. Hope it just revives your heart today, because we're talking about, you think about this now, something could be happening right now. Somebody said, well, I know these things. Well, isn't that really great in support of what the thought is, because when they knew God. Okay, you know these things, but are you using them for the glory of God? Am I using them for the glory of God? How is your faith resting on the Word of God? I mean, does it rest on something? Does it speak the Word only? Does it have to be substantiated, verified by anything else in this world other than God said it himself? This is one of those great reasons why there's such attack on the Scriptures, because people really don't receive this as the Word of God. They receive it as good instruction for holy living. But as is this book to you the authority of the one who created heaven and earth and everything that is? If it is, then you can say, speak the word only. And that's what God would like to have to happen for each of us. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Now, I like the way it says that, because God's right. But I was thinking about that, and, you know, in my mind, I would think about words. But it's kind of like I said earlier, everybody in this room right now has whatever. Everybody in this room, I guarantee you right now, you have a word from God. There's something everybody in this room knows, that at least one directive that you have from God that you should be doing. If you're lost, you know you need to repent to be born again. You need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're saved, there's some directive in your life, a word that you need to fulfill from God. And as you walk, the just shall live by that faith. And if you walk in that word that you have right now, something that God has revealed to you from His Holy Scriptures, that will be, the Bible said, the steps of a good man order the Lord. That will be the step that takes you to the next step. But you know, sometimes, you know, God gives me direction. And I know what His word is, every word of God. But then I can read a different word. Well, I sure would like to do that. If you ever have children, you'll find out there's certain times, and we've had to bless all our children, been pretty helpful throughout the years. But each of them, and I'm sure I was the same with my mother, had a stage where there were certain things that we asked them to do, but there were other things they wanted to do to help us. They saw things we were doing, and certain things what we were doing, that looked a lot more exciting than what they were asked to do. And so they would go try to help us with that, and say, thank you for that, but what about that I asked you to do? And the Father said the same thing to me. You know, there's things that I can do, and feel like I'm laboring for the Lord. And He'll say, but what about that which I asked you to do? So we need to live by every word of God. Has God spoken the word only to you? And are you resting your life in obedience to that which God wants you to do? That's what study is about. We study for obedience and to practice the word of God. Second Peter chapter number 1. I'd like to see something else from the scriptures. Second Peter chapter number 1. keep going to 1 Peter, and that's why it's not reading what it's supposed to read. 2 Peter chapter number 1, in verse number 19, the Word of God says, For we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well, that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. You know, verse 20 is a pretty powerful verse if you think about that. It said there's no prophecy of the Scripture that is of any private interpretation. Lord showed me some. I was in a Bible study with Richard, and I wrote this down the way God showed it to me from this passage. If there is a doctrine that we feel like it is acceptable, that we have a different opinion about it with someone else, it is most likely not a valid biblical doctrine. Or we're emphasizing it incorrectly, or the truth that the Holy Spirit wants to get across. Because if the Scriptures are of not any private interpretation, it couldn't be acceptable for you to think one way about something, me to think one way about something. It was a valid biblical doctrine. I understand Scriptures have more than one meaning, but I'm talking about if there's a truth we derive, and if we can say that's your opinion, and that's your opinion, and be okay with that. I'm not talking about a deepening of a passage. But if there's a biblical doctrine that we can say, well, it's okay if you believe that, I believe that, it's most likely not a valid biblical doctrine, because the Scriptures are not of any private interpretation, and the prophecy came by the Holy Ghost. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So whatever the Holy Ghost intends for it to say, that's what it is. And if we can have a disagreement about it and come to them, there's a pretty good chance that whatever the Holy Ghost is really trying to say about the passage is not what we're emphasizing. And so just think about that and meditate on that, because that'll keep you from a lot of arguments that don't matter and debating over things that are not matter, because and that does not mean you soften, but there's clear biblical truth in passages, but there are certain things within the passage that certain truths that sometimes religion hangs itself on that there's not enough biblical evidence to make a complete stand on it. Now, things like the doctrine of Jesus Christ, now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. There is a valid truth in everything. Everybody understand what I'm saying? Because you say something like that, people, I don't want you to get the wrong impression that there's this, there's not this blanket truth out there. Well, I mean exactly what I just said. Let me just put it like that, that either we're emphasizing something that's the Holy Ghost did not intend us to emphasize, and or because the things that we can stand upon clearly in the Scripture, they're clearly stated in the Scripture. Yes, sir, brother.
The example be whether or not that centurion was a Jew or a Gentile.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, exactly. Case in point. So the emphasis is speak the word only, right? That's the emphasis we catch, because it really doesn't matter for the story whether or not it's a Jew or a Gentile, does it? So the truth the Holy Ghost would like to emphasize would be speak the word only. Perfect. Thank you, brother. was that what you're trying to say? Okay, good. Right, amen. Amen.
It doesn't clearly say.
Right.
So you can have an opinion about it, but it's not clearly stated, and it's not a document.
Exactly. Amen. Amen. Thank you. That's what I was trying to say. So you know what I was saying. So somebody's with me, amen. Everybody still awake? All right, back to our text here. So the foundation for our faith, something simply you've already known, it's the Word of God. But you know, one of the things I'm really, the longer I serve the Lord is, well, kind of like my wife was saying, turn to my reproof. Yeah, there's truths that we know, but when will we really embrace them and embody them? You know, I was thinking about the cross, taking the cross daily this morning, and fearing the Lord. I was fearfully preaching today because I was trying to examine my heart. Lord, have I really taken up the cross? Have I forsaken everything? Verses, you hear me emphasize that all the time. You know, because those are key passages and key doctrine we build everything else we live upon. Now, Romans chapter 1, that we looked at the foundation for faith. Now, number 2, the revelation of faith. Because the verse 17 also in Romans 1, it says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith." Now, faith builds faith. I wrote down a note of faith reveals the righteousness of God. Because for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. This is why in your life, the Bible said we should be always abounding in the work of the Lord. And the Bible says in John chapter 6, verse 29, that the work of God is to believe on Him whom He has sent. You and I are continually placed in situations where we get to live by faith. And each one of those faith situations reveal, are meant to reveal the righteousness of God. And the just shall live by faith, but your faith and my faith is a revelation. And this is so significant and important because Satan is not bothered by religion at all. See, we can be religiously loyal and never show forth the righteousness of God. I think about a church that I preached at years ago. Actually, it was in the building, actually. It wasn't the same church, but you know, I remember the story that later the choir was meeting there one night, and they were, you know, it was a traditional black church, and if you ever been in one, you know that sometimes the choir kind of march in a certain way, you know. They had that certain sway to get all built down and going in, and sometimes just Holy Ghost led, and sometimes just practice. It's like we can do anything. We can fake anything, you know. I don't mean black people. I mean religious people. We can all fake anything. And they got to arguing. Now, they're meeting to praise the Lord. They got to arguing about how the choir was going to march in. And do you know in the choir rehearsal, somebody pulled a knife out on somebody? In the choir rehearsal. And now, not much righteousness was revealed that day. And we're supposed to live by faith. Faith reveals righteousness. See, what could have happened, somebody could just been humble and say, you know what, and just say, no matter, just as long as we praise the Lord, don't matter how we march, it really does. No, but I want to march in this way. You don't march in. No, I can see. Well, how can you always get your way? Well, do you always have to say something? You know, why can't you just let us do it our way? You know, and it just goes on. You know, but that's sin because all I had to do was say, you know what? No matter. The reason I came to choir, one of the greatest blessings of my life without singing the choir when I first got saved. I obviously didn't learn how to read the musical notes like I should have, but I loved it. I love just singing to the Lord. I love praising God. And it was a blessing to me. And I just, for life, I can't conceive caring about how we march in. I just can't conceive that. But, you know, there's so many things that religious people do. And if you'll be honest, there's so many things that you even think in a service like this that are so contrary to the person of Jesus Christ. And those thoughts, those things that trigger those thoughts, are to build your faith. Number one, for you to realize the lack thereof of faith. You know, sometimes when the great thing is, I believe every born again child of God ought to learn how to drive in the city, because you will find out how unspiritual you are. Amen. Because, or how spiritual you are, because somebody cuts you off, and it's amazing how you can be so. Oh, so happy in Jesus, and then something happened on the road, and wham! And you just, oh Lord. And God allows you to see how unspiritual you are, how weak you are. And if nothing else, I tell you what, the greatest verses that helped me when driving, let each esteem other better than themselves. So when that taxi's coming, and I know he's trying to squeeze in, and my thought is, I know he's trying to squeeze in. And my real thought is, I'm not letting him squeeze in. Because my pride says, who does he think he is? He knew we were getting ready to merge. He's coming all the way around there because he thinks he's in a hurry more than I am. I know none of y'all would ever think anything like that. But God says, now I can just say, oh, you know what? Wherever he's going, he thinks he's important just like I do. So I can slow down and I can let him merge in. Now, it makes people behind me mad. But let each esteem other better than themselves. You know, Lord, his schedule, wherever he's trying to get, is just as important to mine. If not, it's more important than mine. I mean, it's amazing. You can actually enjoy driving in the city. But you have to let God reveal some things to you. Everything in life is here to reveal faith. What Mark just read about Jesus. You know, we really have a misconception about what our faith is going to do for us in this world. The perfect, sinless Son of God. I mean, do you understand that they hated Him? They didn't just not like His religious persona, but they hated Him. And when I think about that, here's a man that had a withered hand. He walks in there on a Sabbath day, and you think about the lack of love in that religious gathering. He healed him. And all they could think about was that he broke religious protocol. You can't do work on the Sabbath day. You can't heal on the Sabbath day. And they were mad about it. But thank God, our faith is to reveal the righteousness of God. This is why your faith is so under attack. You know, like when I said I was 18 and I went to church with people that showed up all the time. But you know, when church was over, there was no faith throughout the week. Because I could not see in them any right way of God. Because the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. Not from work to work. Because many find their standing in the good work. Well, hey, I go to church. Honey, I go to church every Sunday. Honey, I go to church every time the doors are open. But that's not faith. You know, and religiously, you know, a lot of us can stay out of sin just because we're afraid of sin. But that don't mean we fear God or live by faith. Because we fear our reputation. You know, a lot of people never get help from God because they value their reputation more than they value what God thinks about them. I was thinking about a pastor who committed suicide once he got in sin. I mean, his consumed with his reputation. And all he had to do, he was no different than you and I. He's just a sinner, saved by the grace of God. I mean, we like to. And think about it, if he just humbled himself, who knows how God could have used him? He could have probably helped a lot of other people that may have been in the same sin he was in, helped them to go on with their life after sin. You know, I should write a book called Life After Sin. You know. That's because that's what we're not supposed to die after sin, but it 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, and it's actually plural though, isn't it? Didn't it say sins? Can we help? Is that right? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When we come and protect this religious persona, and we can't even be moved sometimes in the house of God because we have to protect our image, you know. But our faith, part of faith is repentance. Part of faith is being sincere. And so the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. This is absolutely essential to glorifying God. This is why we must be in the Word of God. This is why we must allow God to allow us to live by faith. Hold your place here. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Think about the revelation of faith. You see, we know that works don't save, so works don't verify righteousness either. You know, some of the people I couldn't get along with in the church I was even saved at, they were so conscious of works. I told this story before. Some of you may remember. I remember they were over our house one time, and we had some Barbie dolls around there, and my mom's had given to the kids, and I can't remember if the the Barbie doll had pants on. And these people, you could just tell they were just like, they were just like, they saw the doll and just like their whole spirit changed, you know. They've got a doll with a woman with pants on. I mean, and they would never dare violate what they consider a religious rule. But I tell you, they didn't reveal much righteousness. Their home is separated right now. Broken apart. Kids are in a mess. It's tragedy. That's heartbreaking. But they thought the righteousness of God was revealed from work to work instead of faith to faith. Now don't misunderstand that. Faith without works is dead. We can't just say we believe God and there'd be no works to follow. But what I'm talking about, basically most of the acts of faith, they demand something of us that just can't always be authenticated by a human sign. Like those things, those things I'm talking about in the car, when you have no Holy Spirit control, that's a faith issue. That's a faith problem. And if you have bitterness or malice or envy or jealousy, those are faith problems that manifest themselves. And we have to let God work on those things. Because we can fake the other stuff. But that internal thing, it comes out eventually. Now, where are we at? First Corinthians 8. Now, as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. If any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. But, so knowledge puffeth up. You know, when I think about being puffed up, I've used this before, when I was much heavier than I am right now, I still need to lose some weight, but when I was much heavier, when you're puffed up, you just don't want to move, do you? You sit down in that chair and just get up out of that chair. Well, maybe some of you have never been overweight, so you don't really know what I'm talking about, but you just don't want to get up. Even breathing is a problem. Simple breathing is a problem. And knowledge does that to us. It makes us not want to be moved by God. Simple things like we know, but see, it's not about the knowledge. See, knowledge just puffs us up. Because everything I've said, I don't think I've said anything new so far, but we all know this. But we need to live by it. The just will live by it. But if, verse 3, but if a man love God, the same is known of him. That's something that you just really can't fake. You know, if a man loved God, you know why you can't fake it? Because God said you can't fake it. If a man loved God, the same is known of him. And so we endeavor. Because what does that reveal? Faith, a love of God and faith reveals the character of God. It reveals God's own love. And when we walk in that, people get to see who God is. You know, what Mark read about Jesus Christ. If you recall in the passage, Jesus didn't curse anybody in that passage for hating him. He didn't even act like his identity was in jeopardy. He just continued to do what he was supposed to do because he knew who he was. And he revealed the righteousness of... See, you know the great thing about God is? He's I am. and nothing can shake him from that. Do you understand that? He is the I am that I am. And the reason we live by faith is, and God lets us be put under pressure, so when people see that I am in us, and Jesus, and when all those things were, but he was bombarded, he just stayed the course. And when you and I live by faith, when those problems and the things of life come our way, and even sin comes against us, we show forth the I am as we live by faith, and people see the righteousness of God. They see that when we bless those that curse us, that, well, you know, that was, honey, that was me. No, and if you're saved, know what you say? No, if that was me, I would have did the same thing. But that wasn't me. That was Christ in me. See, that's the difference. You know, there's nothing we can really do to manifest or develop a self-control. The Holy Spirit of God works in us, and we yield to that, and it does what it needs to do. Now, Hebrews chapter 11, last point today, so I better make it a long one. No, just kidding. It'll probably be long, because you guys know me so well. But Hebrews chapter 11, we look at the foundation for faith, the revelation of faith. Because if you know God, God wants you to glorify Him as God. You know, living by the Word of God, you know, you can tell who people respect by whose Word they trust in. You know, I'll leave that. That's, thank you, Lord. Hebrews 11, notice the Bible says, verse 1. Now, number 3 is the misconceptions of faith. The misconceptions of faith. Simple things here. Verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Misconception number 1 about faith is faith brings substance. That's the misconception about faith. Faith brings substance. Faith is substance. Do you understand the difference? The reason many of us get discouraged in our walk with God is because when we, quote unquote, live by faith, we're looking for some substance. But according to what God said, faith is, it doesn't say substance, but actually faith is the substance. And it's amazing, if you think about how true this is, when you're not living by faith, God can even drop every physical thing in your lap, and you still can't see it because it doesn't give. It's not the substance. Faith is the substance. I mean, because right now, how many believe God is good? And how many? You ever had a time in your life where you've had so many good things around you, but in all honesty, you really couldn't really enjoy the goodness of God, and you just couldn't see all the good things that are around you really bring your life until you saw it by faith. A person can have so much left sometimes, physically speaking, and by faith enjoy the goodness of God. And a person can have so many earthly things going well for them and not by faith, not even enjoy the goodness of God, because they don't see it as from God. And faith is the substance. Faith does not bring substance. It is substance. Second misconception of faith, and you probably picked it up from the verse here, the second misconception of faith is that faith brings evidence. Second misconception that faith brings evidence. And you already know the answer is faith does not bring evidence. Faith is the evidence. It's the evidence of things not seen. We see the proof of that if you look over to verse 7, the life of Noah. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, he feared the Lord. Why? Oh, he had faith because God told him what was going to happen. He said, build an ark. And based on the word that God spoke, Noah adjusted 120 years of his life. And the only substance he had was faith. The only evidence he had was faith. Now we can, you know, today we sit here and maybe you've been spoken, God's given you direction for your life in sometimes past, and maybe if you're on course with that, to God be the glory. But maybe off course with that. You know why? Because you were looking for some substance to encourage that decision, or even looking for some evidence to confirm that decision. But no, it's faith. It's just faith. Because 120 years, you know, as I read the Bible, I don't see anybody by year 50. God even sent a prophet to Noah and said, Noah, and the word of the Lord said, you're doing good, keep building the ark. He didn't get that. He didn't have a complete canon of scripture like we have today to look at. But yet, by faith, it was his substance for all those years to go and to go and to go and to go. Now, I'm not against a lot of the things we do, like that creation science museum, their whole place, and thank God for those studies, and they encourage a lot of people. But you know what? They're like, even the place going to build the ark. Now, I'm not negative or against that, but you know what? Noah didn't have anybody to show him that was possible. He just had faith. You know. By the way, if you ever want to go, I have a pastor friend that can get anybody in free. He told me to mention that. So if you ever want to go there, the one in Kentucky, I think it is, a new one. Where is it at, Mark? I know you've been. In Kentucky, they've got lifetime passes, and they said if you ever send anybody down, send them to our church, they can get them for free. So if you ever want to go, and it's not bad to go. So I'm not criticizing going, but I'm just saying the just shall live by faith. Noah did not have any substance to hold on to except for what thus saith the Lord. And the only evidence that he had was what thus saith the Lord. And I'll say it again because we need to catch the glory of this. Anybody here 120? If you are, you're holding your age well. anybody here really think they'll live to be 120? I mean, if we do, praise God. I mean, I have a great grandpa lived to be 120, but 112, 120. I always get forget which number it is. But I really think it was 121. But I really hope Jesus takes me before then. But anyway, but point I'm making is, can you imagine 120 years of your life living simply on the authority, on a command that God says, of something that's going to happen in the future, and you, for 120 years, there's not one evidence, physical thing you can see that confirms that you're doing the right thing, except for what God said. Do you understand that's how powerful the Word of God is to a person that believes by faith? You know, I think about that passage where it said Jesus told the disciples to have faith in God. Who shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, shall be done? Okay, the mountain. You know, I think about that mountain. Because it said, once you speak to the mountain, after that, what shall you ask in prayer believing, you shall receive you. I think the mountain is the cross. And the mountain is when you, and to go to the cross, you've pretty much laid down your life. Yeah, you know, I finally realized something in my own difficulties and struggles. You know, the cross is unconditional submission and complete surrender to God. It is not a stepping stone for me to get out of life what I really want to get. And if you confuse the two, then you'll waver in your faith. Noah understood that he should live by faith. And 120 years of his life for a labor that nobody could understand but him and God was worth it. Because the just shall live by faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. There are many truths in this Bible that you may live and you may not see any evidence, so to speak, that you're even doing the right thing. But remember, it's right to Him. See, the whole world, you know why the world is in a mess? Because they don't live by faith. They try something for a while, that didn't work, so that's not benefiting me, so I want to do something else. Many people work on a job, and they say, you know, well, I quit because it didn't look like it was working out, you know, and I don't like this. I don't see long-term benefits for my future, so I quit, you know. This is a dead-end job. Well, it's no dead-end job if you're where God wants you to be, if you're obeying the Lord. I mean, thank Him for it. Just do what you're supposed to be doing, you know. Hey, why not? Like I said, when I used to hang turkeys, man, I loved it. after God broke me to teach how to pray, and He raised me up, I knew I was there by the will of God. I got to preach Christ every day, witness people all the time. It was great. Slept good, and I had great labor of faith there. The substance that sustained the labors of Noah was faith. The evidence that caused him to remain faithful to do his labor was that of faith. That faithfulness reveals the righteousness of God. You know, the Bible says that we're His workmanship. The Bible also says you are bought with a price. You're not your own. Are you listening? You're not your own. You don't have a right to live your life for you. You've got the freedom to do it, but you don't have the right to because you've been bought. And it's a faith, it's a labor of faith to live a life not for yourself. And can I tell you the truth? A lot of times the only evidence you have when you're not living for yourself is this. And the only substance you have when you're not living for yourself is this. You know, Mark read about our Savior, didn't he? Anybody glad Jesus came? Anybody glad Jesus lived the life He lived? Now, don't answer this one out loud, but who wants to be like Jesus? Because He was hated for being perfect. as he walked the earth, do you understand that as he walked the earth, the perfect example of, he was a perfect example of everything. In the life of Christ, you cannot point out one inconsistency and say, well, you handled that one wrong. No, he was perfect. He was holy in every way. And the life of faith he exemplified for you and I was that the just shall live by faith. And the evidence he had, he said, I came not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And do you know why? And that is part of his... And let me tell you this also. The Bible said we have not an high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, who was in all points tempted like as we yet without sin. Jesus, more than anybody else, understands what it's like to live by faith. He knows that lonely valley when you've given up every part of your being and you're hated for it, or you're misunderstood, or you're just plain rejected for not living for yourself. I tell you, that's the way the faith goes forth. The righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. You know, I thank God for faith, because that's how I'm saved. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Salvation came by our good works, we boast. That's why it's so easy, and that's what we miss. And that's how they could know God and not glorify Him as God, because they really wouldn't look at the life of faith they were living. Became vain imaginations, established religious structures to glorify man instead of glorifying God. That's why we have all these standards of righteousness in here. Because right now, the reason churches pick each other apart sometimes, they go, I don't like what she said, and she's not right in that area. I don't like what he said, he's not right in that area. And what we're saying is, well, I'm spiritual, I'd never do that. I'm spiritual, I'd never do that. And we both just condemned ourselves when we do that. Because there's the only standard that matters is what this says. By love serve one another. I would like to glorify God as God. When I live by every word that I see out of the mouth of God, you know what that shows people? That shows people that I believe that He is God. And that shows people I believe that He's the Lord. And that His righteousness is revealed by me living by faith. When God can tell me, speak the word only, and nobody else be in agreement, and you look at the Bible, you know that's what it says, you just do it. But they may not like you. And say, well, there's somebody believes what he said. That's why it's so important. That's why Jesus is so hard on the hypocrites. Because they said one thing and did another. That's what God is trying to purge us, that none of us will live being hypocritical. And God wants to break down your misconceptions about faith. Because a lot of good people, I mean, what if Noah quit about year 50? But honestly, let's examine our worldly thinking here for a moment. And we all have it, myself included. And let's come to an honest realization of where our heart may really be at. Who would really, I'm not asking to answer out loud, who would really want the life that Noah had? 120 years of pretty much isolation of people walking by. What's that for? Well, it's for the Lord. The Lord said it's going to rain. What are you talking about? We've never had rain. Year after year. Year after year. Nobody understanding. But him, all he knew is what God told him. And eventually, the only people that were actually spared were his own wife and their children. And you find out what they did after that. They were messed up too. It was a definite work of grace. that he spared him. You see, because if we're honest with him, man, what a waste to live 120 years and just build a boat, labor, and nobody understand to be done. I mean, we look at the life of Christ. Live 3 years. Well, actually, live 33 years. Have a ministry of 3 years and be hated so much that they put you to death. I mean, most people go to Bible college. That's not what the preachers are looking for. And that's not what the pastor's wives are looking for either. So we get married. Well, you know, can you imagine a wife coming here praying? Y'all pray for Reiner. I'm praying he'll be so full of the Holy Ghost. He'll be so much like Jesus that this will be the last 3 years we spend together. Can you imagine that? I wish she could pray that. Maybe she can. Maybe she's praying it right now. I don't know. Could I tell you, if I could impact the world like Jesus did, that'd be worth the 3 years. But you know what that is? Can I tell you? Now, that's foolish to the world, isn't it? And that's foolish to you and me because we're full of the world. Because how many people know that would really be a good desire? I mean, intellectually and biblically, how many know that that would be good? We know that. But now don't raise your hand, but how many just think, well, wow, do I really want that? I'm going to tell you, I want that. There's a part of me with every fiber of my being, I want that. But on the contrary, maybe he would use me like Noah, 120 years. There's other people that live a long time, but the point I'm making is, each person that walked, they walked by the Word. God's Word was different for Jesus. God's Word was different for Noah. God's Word was different for Elijah and Elisha. But all these people, and Jacob and Enoch and all these people, they walked by faith. And each of them had a call of faith that was unique in and of itself because it demanded an evidence of things not seen. See, the reason I'm called to walk away and I don't see anybody else, thank you, Lord, and I often don't see anybody else doing what I'm doing is not because I'm more spiritual. I used to think that. Because I was sinning against the Lord by comparing myself among other preachers. That's sin. Because he said we dare not do that. And the reason you're called to do something that you can't see anybody else doing sometimes is because faith is the substance of things hoped for. The only substance you have is this. Now, there'll be certain things that are in common. But there'll be many things that'll be only known by you and God. And you have a great opportunity. And think about it. That's why God made the church. Because in the church there are different members. You know, every member of my body is not the same. Can you imagine if these were all noses right here? But every part of this body works together to get something done. All of us are controlled by the brain. Every part of the body is controlled by the head, which is Christ, and the heart. But every member has a different function. But every member answers directly to the head, which is Christ. And the just shall live by faith. So we do not make ourselves a number, they which compare themselves among themselves. But do you understand the most exciting thing about the Bible is faith? I love the rest. I could read all the Hebrews and but you know, I encourage you to read Hebrews later. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. You think by faith. By faith. By faith. Through faith, Sarah received strength. By faith. By faith. By faith. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Noah. By faith. By faith, they had substance. And by faith, they had evidence. And some, as you see in verse 13 of Hebrews chapter 11, These all died in faith, not having received the promises. Many died in faith, never receiving the promises. On this side. But they just lived knowing that the promise, that it was worth it to live by faith. The only thing that's going to change, the glory of God, is a just living by faith. You know what I almost said? I said the only thing that's going to change our generation, but we don't really know what it will change. The only thing that changed the glory of God is you and I living by faith. And I tell you, I thank God for the privilege of knowing Him. And I hope that by the time I meet Him, He will say, yeah, but when you knew God, I hope there won't be this downward spiral in my life. You know, and I didn't write this down, but you know what the greatest misconception of faith also is, the last misconception is? You know what the greatest misconception of all of them is? That you really can't live by faith. You really can't live by faith. That's the greatest misconception of everything. And it sure is worth it. I guess you keep going. It's not worth it to live by faith. That's a misconception. I wrote down here in my Bible, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. And I wrote verse 1. I wrote these words outside of verse 1 to replace faith. And you could probably add more to this. Experience. Now, experience is a substance of things hoped for. Opportunity. And the opportunity is something things hoped for. Age. Now, age is something things hoped for because sometimes we want to be a different age. We think that's the strength. Now, finances. Now, relationship. Talents. Beauty. Health. Gifts. Education. And you know your own heart. What would you put in place of faith? What is your substance of what you're hoping for in your life right now? If it's any other than faith, may I lovingly tell you, may I lovingly plead with you, repent. Amen. Right. So the list goes on. Repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Because without faith, it is impossible to please Him. So I plead with you. If you have something in your life that you're looking at other than faith as your substance, just repent. God loves you, and He wants you to meet Him with a life that actually matters. With a life through. And don't be afraid. Remember, let God be afraid of me. Don't be afraid of what you're going to miss out in this life. You understand that Satan is called the prince of this world? You understand that? So you're not going to miss out on much if you miss out on something here. One thing, I don't want to miss out on opportunity to live by faith. Because if I live by faith properly, those that are looking for faith can have some hope. And they can see the righteousness of God revealed as I live from faith to faith. And then they can live from faith to faith. And they can hear the Father say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. Be thou ruler over many. And you know, I tell you, may God help our church, friend of the church, members, non-members, wherever state you find yourself in today. Now that you know the faith, some of the faith of God, may you submit to God and allow God to say, man, when I knew God, now that I know God, I'm living for His glory. Can you say to the Lord right now with honest heart, speak the word only? If you can't, just say, Father, I believe, but help thou mine unbelief. You have a great opportunity today to embark upon the greatest journey that this life has to offer, a life of faith. I thought, man, can you imagine the exhilaration of Noah that day when the rain came? Now he's heart, can I tell you the sad thing? He was heartbroken also as he heard the screams outside the ark. And those that died without faith. See, a Christian life is all, at best is always bittersweet. Often people ask me how I'm doing. I said, how are you doing today? I said, well, I'm bittersweet. So what do you mean? I said, well, God is so incredibly good. I can't hardly stand it. I'm heartbroken. There's so many people that I love don't know Him. And so on my best day, I can only be so happy. Because I love God. And by the grace of God, when I'm right with God, I love what He loves, which is His own creation. And the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Lord, I thank You for Your goodness today. I thank You for calling me to a life of faith. I thank You for revealing sin in my own life this week and this caused me to repent. And Father, I have faith in You that You've cleansed me of my sin and just my wrong perspective. And Father, even my rejection of Your cross, God, have mercy. It floors me to think that that was part of my being. But Lord, You know that's part of my struggle. But I thank You for forgiving me and cleansing me. And Lord, I ask today that You would empower Your children to live by faith. Lord, only You can. Would You speak the word only to somebody right now in this room? Right now. They know they're not living by faith. Would You speak the word only to them right now? And would You let them know it's from You? And Father, strengthen them that they'll be willing to live by faith. Father, anybody in this room is not born again. Never been saved. Going to church, just trying to do enough and learn enough to become a Christian. I pray You'll convict their hearts and let them know they just have to turn from sin and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll save them based on their faith in what You have done, not anything that they have done or can do. My Father, would You help every one of Your creation in this room glorify You as God? And begins with our faith.